Spin Golf with Matthew Lawrence. Your 8:03 tee time every Sunday morning right here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by tweeting Matthew at ML on WLXG. Ask questions or comments on what you'd like Matthew to talk about on the show. Today's show is sponsored by French Lick Resort, Lexington Parks and Recreation, Play Golf Lexington, and by Edwin Watts Golf. Let's join your host, Matthew Lawrence, for Backspin Golf.
Good morning. Good morning. Well, every day that you wake up is a good day. Every day. When you're able to get out of bed and you're alive, it's a good day. If you're a golfer, somebody maybe that plays, or maybe somebody that just enjoys watching high-level golf and the best golf in the world, this is one of the great days ever. Really ever. Certainly in the history of the Ryder Cup. And there have been some memorable, memorable Sundays singles at the Ryder Cup. For those of you who are listening, who somehow missed what's happened the last couple days, and even the few days before that, the U.S. leads 9.5 to 6.5. There will be 12 singles matches played today, each one worth a point. The United States of America needs 5 points to win the Ryder Cup, which they haven't been able to do very often for the last, 10 Ryder Cups. Europe has won 8 of the last 10, 5 of the last 6. But here's the thing. Normally, in a Ryder Cup, a 3-point lead going into the Sunday singles is usually a pretty good lead. But we can't forget, pretty recently, just 4 years ago, the last time the Cup was played in the United States at Medina outside Chicago, the United States had a 10-6 lead going into Sunday. And they didn't win the Cup. So it's certainly possible and doable for Europe to come back and win the Cup today. It's just going to be amazing. What happened yesterday was both amazing, fantastic golf from a number of different people. But I also have to say, one of the most deplorable, horrible exhibitions by fans of any sporting event that I can remember. And I think a lot of us saw this coming. We've been talking about it all week. The behavior, not all of them, obviously, like any crowd situation, but the behavior of the fans there yesterday was horrible. Horrible. Things were yelled at the European players that were just brutal. It started during the week with Danny Willett's brother, Danny Willett, the Masters champion from England playing for Europe. His brother put out a blog that called American fans fat, cellar-dwelling, just on and on and on. And what my feeling was that the fans yesterday, and even the first couple days, were proving him right with all the bad things he said. It's one thing, we know the Ryder Cup is a raucous atmosphere. And that's okay. The guys expect it. We get it when we go to Europe. They get it. But this is different. This yesterday, the things that were said to the players, and thus the players reacted, I've never seen on a golf course. It's okay up to a certain point, but I feel like the behavior went way over the line yesterday, and I'm betting it's even going to be worse today. But we'll have to see. I'll just start before we go to break and get a phone call from our good friend John Patrick from the Augusta Golf Show is going to call. I want to talk to him about the Ryder Cup, but mostly, since we haven't been on the air since Arnold Palmer passed away, I want to talk to John a little about Mr. Palmer. John had a really good relationship with him. He interviewed him many, many times during the week on Twitter. John put pictures of he and Arnold Palmer up together that were fantastic. But before we do, they have a blind draw for the Sunday of the Ryder Cup, where both captains put the order of the people that are going to play on Sunday, and it's a blind draw. They don't, it's not a reactive thing. And every golf fan in the world wanted Patrick Reed and Rory McIlroy. Patrick Reed yesterday had one of the top performances ever in a Ryder Cup, and Rory is playing maybe better than he ever has, even with his four majors. Well, they got it. The first pairing today, Patrick Reed and Rory McIlroy. We'll talk a little, as I said, John Patrick will join us after the break. Our friend, Perry French, who's normally with me for every show, is at the Ryder Cup in Chaska, Minnesota. He'll be calling, and we'll talk to him. And we'll finish up with an interview with Neil Sagabelle, who has written one of the great books on the Ryder Cup. He'll give us a call when we come back. So thanks for joining us. When we come back, John Patrick will join all of us here on Backspin Golf on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by French Lick Resort. Visit them online at FrenchLick.com.
Sunday, the Atlanta Falcons meet the Carolina Panthers in an NFC South battle. Hi, this is Brandon Gaudin of Westwood One. Join Ross Tucker and me for all the action from the Georgia Dome. The 2-1 Falcons are rolling with the league's top offense. Can Carolina get back on track and slow them down with their vaunted defense? Tune in to find out. Falcons, Panthers, if it's the NFL, it's right here.
The NFL on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Brought to you by Paul Miller Ford.
Did you know there's only one place in the country that you can play courses designed by two members of the World Golf Hall of Fame on the same property? The Pete Dye and Donald Ross courses at French Lick Resort make us an ultimate golf destination for 2016. Check out the Ultimate Golf Package, the Hall of Fame Package, and other great offerings at FrenchLick.com. Let 2016 be that year you finally take your dream golf getaway at French Lick Resort.
Come experience one of Lexington's hottest spots, the Tulip Bistro and Bar. Located in the heart of Chevy Chase at 355 Romney Road, you can enjoy their lighter fare menu such as Tulip Tacos or the decadent gourmet cheeseburgers, voted one of Lexington's best. For a more formal evening and dining experience, enjoy Tulip's delicious entrees like cast iron seared ribeye, or treat yourself to the best short ribs you'll ever eat. And don't forget about their seasonal dinner and salad specials. You'll also find fresh oysters and other sophisticated creations by Chef Spencer. Come enjoy their great wine list and outstanding service. The Tulip Bistro and Bar is open Monday through Saturday for dinner. The Tulip Bistro and Bar, 355 Romney Road, in the heart of Chevy Chase. Go to their website, thetulipbistroandbar.com, or call them at 367-6687 to make reservations. That's 859-367-6687. Let the Tulip Bistro and Bar be your next great dining experience.
When football is back and basketball is around the corner, why not make your game day experience an incredible dining experience as well? Come to Tony's Steaks and Seafood before or after the football game. Big screen TVs, fantastic service, wonderful atmosphere, and the best food anywhere. And during basketball at Rupp, you'll see a sign that says, "You're a minute away from the best steak you've ever had." Tony's, on Main Street, across from Triangle Park. Visit TonysSteaksAndSeafood.com.
Now is a great time to volunteer at the Lexington Rescue Mission. Volunteering is an opportunity to directly impact lives.
To see a life changed, to have it flourish in front of you. And the mission is a great place to volunteer to see that. You really get to see the results of your input.
And anyone can do it. So no matter how much time you might be able to give, a little or a lot, volunteer at the Lexington Rescue Mission. Call us at 381-9600.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Welcome back on Sunday of the Ryder Cup. Joining us now, and I'm always so happy when he joins us, but particularly today, not only for, we'll chat briefly about the Ryder Cup, but I also want to talk to our friend John Patrick from the Augusta Golf Show about Arnold Palmer. I have two pictures with Arnold Palmer, and I consider myself lucky to have gotten those. John Patrick has a bunch of pictures with Arnold Palmer. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Matthew. How are you?
Oh, I'm okay. I just wish there was something going on today that I might be able to watch, you know? This is just, before we get to, I just want you to talk about Arnold for a few minutes, but before we get to that, you've been watching golf for a long time. You've done your brilliant show, the Augusta Golf Show, for a long time. Can you recall ever seeing anything like yesterday at the Ryder Cup?
No. I mean, we can't. There is nothing like the Ryder Cup in existence. And, you know, I love almost all of it. There's some of it I have some challenges with, and that's sometimes the crowd gets a bit unruly. And But I have no problem with the players getting the way the players do.
And agreed.
I think the crowd sometimes mistakes that or jumps on the back of that in an inappropriate way. But, you know, whether it's Patrick shushing the crowd over there or mm-hmm. Corey bowing at the final hole, I have no problem with the players doing anything that they do.
I agree 100%. In the open of the show, I very much think there is a lot of over-the-line behavior there this week. Leading up to Rory getting a fan ejected as he walked to the eighth tee for... I just read what the comments were that were made. And, you know, it's not okay. It's and I understand a lot of the people have... had a few beverages, and most of them aren't golfers. That's the thing. I think the people that do yell things right as somebody's swinging and doing all that stuff, there. I don't think you know, obviously you or I would never do it, but I think most golfers wouldn't do it. And so I had a real problem with some of the behavior yesterday.
Well, I don't think I ever feel as old.
Yeah.
As I do, when I have no complete understanding of why you would do that.
Right.
I can't sit there and figure out what makes somebody want to do that. Why? Because you want to be heard, because you want to play it back in your DVR
mm-hmm.
for your buddies and say, that was me, that was me.
Yep.
I can't comprehend why you would do that at all.
I totally agree with that, and... I don't know why somebody thinks yelling Baba Booey when somebody hits a golf ball is cool. I don't understand.
Now, I would say this. If I thought what they yelled was imaginative and creative, I'd be the first guy laughing.
Yep.
But
yep.
It's not.
Yeah.
But it's not.
Do you have any idea what mashed potatoes means?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay.
I have no clue.
I thought maybe that was from Seinfeld episode something.
And at some point do we induct the get in the hole man into the screaming Hall of Fame or something? Is he looked at as like a groundbreaker?
Yeah. Well, I know there's no chance of this happening, but I hope that today it doesn't get out of hand, because here's the thing: the golf that we've seen has been fantastic for the most part, and heartbreaking. In other parts, Lee Westwood missing 3 2-foot putts yesterday is heartbreaking to me.
And I so like him.
Yeah.
I've wanted from day one for him to win a major. I have evolved into wanting Sergio to win a major.
Me too.
But I've wanted Lee to win one just to validate what has been wonderful. And you're right. It was so, We've all had those putts. We've all missed those putts.
Mm-hmm.
You're right, heartbreaking.
We don't do it in front of 100 million people. Well, a lot more than that around the world, actually.
Yeah, exactly.
So you feel for him. All right, before we get to some Arnie talk, prediction today? Do we hang on? Do we win it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah?
I think they're playing so well. I think it's not the same lead they had at Medina, but it's a big enough lead to kind of make them rally around the fact that we will not let this go again.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think they do. And if they don't.
Well, we don't even want to think that way, right, JP?
No, I agree. I agree. But
all right.
That's why we watch.
Yes. Yes, it will be. All right. I want to talk to you just for a few minutes about Mr. Palmer. And as I said, you know, I was fortunate enough to spend about a day and a half with him at the Fred Meyer Challenge a few years ago with Peter Jacobson. But you, just the pictures that you put up on social media of the two of you together were amazing to me. Talk to us a little bit about your relationship with Arnold.
Well, I met him for the first time in 1992. There was an event here in town, the Georgia Golf Hall of Fame banquet. The Georgia Golf Hall of Fame was based here. They held a banquet every year for the induction. And this was about the fourth year that the banquet existed. A dear friend, a television personality in town, did it for the first 3 years and didn't want to do it anymore, and talked to me about doing it and talked to the organization about doing it, and they agreed. So my very first year of doing it was a year that Arnold came in and accepted the plaque for the late Clifford Roberts. Roberts was being inducted into the hall, and Arnold was the speaker.
Mm-hmm.
So Arnold sat right next to me all night.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll never forget this. I'm 34 years old. I'm doing this for the first time. He's next to me, and if memory serves me, he had just within the last 6 weeks or 8 weeks addressed a joint session of Congress. And Matt, he did not touch his meal. He sat there with his notes sort of on his lap under the table, going over his notes fastidiously and very studiously. And I remember thinking, he had just addressed a joint session of Congress. These are just a bunch of golfers in Georgia, but he was preparing so meticulously that it taught me so much about that. And he was wonderful and gracious, as he always was. And you know, all of the stories about him of how he met people and spent time with people. It was even more so, you know, those 20-some, 30-some years ago. You know, had an occasion to be with him 7, 8, 9 times. I did another event. Now, 12 or 13 years ago, it was Arnold Palmer Day here in Augusta. We were saluting him the Monday of Masters Week. And this is just a small little thing, but I came up to him and saw him and told him I was the MC again that evening, and he thought that was great. It was great to see me, and he, you're the MC, and he reached for his umbrella pin on his collar and said, you need to have this. And I'm like, no, that's yours. And he just looked at me and winked and said, you know, I can get another.
And so many of the people, we've seen those little umbrella pins. I thought Friday morning at the first tee, Arnold Palmer's Ryder Cup bag sitting on the first tee from when he captained the 75 team. That was a really cool moment. And I mean really cool.
Yeah, and I am a unbridled, always have been, always will be, Jack Nicklaus fan. And I know, but to watch Jack Thursday night, to see him and Tony Jacklin standing there, and to see Jack wearing an Arnold Palmer lapel pin.
Yeah. Yep.
Let me tell you one story.
Sure.
That a friend told me this week, and I love this. They were at dinner one night. He, Arnold, and Winnie were at dinner, and Arnold came back to the table with his shirt, the front of his shirt, wet. And Winnie's like, Arnold, what have you done to your shirt? And he's just laughing. So he tells this story. Arnold leaves the table to go to the restroom. He's in the restroom at the urinal when a gentleman comes up to the urinal next to him and glances at him and looks at him and then stares at him. And as they're heading for the sink, the man pulls out his flip phone, calls his wife and says, honey, you're not going to believe this. I'm at the, you know, Harry's Steakhouse, and I'm in the restroom with Jack Nicklaus. He said, he puts the list of the phone, Jack, would you say something to my wife? And Arnold says, sure. So
He takes the phone. He looks at the man and says, kind of nods, "What's her name?" "Mary." And he looks at him again and says, "What's your name?" "Jack." Or "Bill." Let's do Bill.
Yeah.
So Arnold takes the phone and says, "Mary, it's Jack Nicklaus. How are you?" He says, "I'm here with Bill. And I probably shouldn't say this, but first of all, he's a wonderful man and he's lucky to have you. And I probably shouldn't say this, but he's kind of just shown me the little bauble that he bought for you on this trip. And I think you're going to be thrilled with this." And the guy's eyes get real big looking at him. And Arnold kind of flips, "Nice to talk to you, Mary," flips the phone down, gives it back to the guy, and says, "It's great to meet you." And Arnold, he's laughing so hard, washing his hands, that he gets water
all over everything.
And that's when he comes back to the table and explains to Winnie what happened.
How cool is that? Yeah. I never would have been. That's some pretty quick thinking there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, we're obviously going to miss him. Gary Player, I don't know if you saw it, who was very, very disturbed by the behavior these last two days.
I can imagine.
He put up a tweet last night, but something to the effect that Arnold Palmer would have wished that both the crowd and the players behaved in the spirit of the game. And that kind of really hit home to me, too. Everybody's celebrating Arnold this week. And
I said this week that I did think about this when I was around Arnold. I'd like to think, you know, everybody's got a wonderful Arnold Palmer story that if you shared any time or space with him. And I want to think it's because he loved being Arnold Palmer so much because of the way he was treated that when you were in his space, he wanted to share a little of that with you.
Right.
We're all telling stories of being around him because he's like, that's how it was for me 24/7 with the people that loved me.
Right.
You know, I just want you to experience a little bit of what the experience has been like for me.
Yeah. Pretty amazing. Really, yeah. and a take that not hardly anybody that I can remember has ever had with that kind of fame.
We will not see his likes again.
Correct. Well, you're the best, and thanks as always. Anytime I call on you,
I appreciate it.
You know, you're just the greatest, and I appreciate you very much. And have a great day today. Watching.
You too.
Okay.
You too. Thank you, Matt.
Thanks, John. Our friend John Patrick from the Augusta Golf Show. He's tremendous. We'll take a break. When we come back, hopefully, we'll talk to Perry French, our Strixon Cleveland golf guy who does every show with me and has for 4 years. He's deserted me today. Why? Because he's at the Ryder Cup. And we'll be talking to him when we get back right here on Backspin Golf on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by French Lick Resort. Visit them online at FrenchLick.com. Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Edwin Watts Golf. ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Earnings vary based on your effort.
Do you want to learn how to make money flipping houses right here in Lexington? If so, we have an amazing opportunity for you. We're looking for a small group of motivated individuals to join our real estate investing team. You'll learn our simple three-step system for flipping homes right here in the local area. This is Than Merrill, star of A&E's hit TV show Flip This House. My team and I are looking for a handful of people in the Lexington area who want to learn how to make money flipping houses in your spare time using other people's money. Lexington is a perfect market for my system, and next week I'm holding a free 2-hour educational workshop where you will learn how to make money flipping homes and how to build long-term wealth with income properties.
To get two free tickets to Than's Workshop, call 1-800-378-7138. Seating is extremely limited. Call in the next 10 minutes and you'll also reserve a free copy of Than's Money for Deals Guide. That's 1-800-378-7138. That's 1-800-378-7138.
One of the great things about little boys and little girls is when they grow up, they want to be just like you. So to moms and dads, aunts and uncles, and grandparents everywhere, remember this. The next time you get in the car and don't buckle your seatbelt, a little boy is watching. And when you decide to text or dial and talk while driving, a little girl is watching your every move. And when you head down the road with a beer or cocktail in the car, that little person next to you is taking it all in. In this life, you have an awesome responsibility to those children who love you the most and want to be you in every way. So make a pledge today to be a good role model to these kids and their friends so that that little boy and that little girl get to grow up and be just like you. Morgan & Morgan, for our children.
Offices Lexington.
You know, if you're like me, about two or three times a week, you think, man, I'd love some pizza. And when that happens, there's only one place to go. It's a neighborhood place. It's the original Brooklyn Pizza. It's right over there on Clay's Mill and Keithshire. Families love it. Everybody loves it. They have great food, great entrees, fresh salads, and the best pizza anywhere. Keno and a full bar. It's the original Brooklyn Pizza on Clay's Mill and Keyshot.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
You're listening to Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence.
We've missed a couple of water hazards on the front nine. Now let's see what the back nine has in store for us. Back to Matthew Lawrence.
All right. Normally... when I'm doing the show, if Perry French isn't next to me, I'm very upset. I frankly don't know how to do it without Perry French. But this is the one excuse that I'll give him. He is in Chaska, Minnesota at the Ryder Cup. I haven't spoken to him yet. I have a lot to talk to him about. Good morning, Mr. French.
Good morning, Matthew.
How are you doing?
The long ways from the counter to you.
Yeah, it is. How are you doing?
We're doing great. Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I don't think it's been 48 hours yet, but getting out here and getting to the Ryder Cup in about a five-hour sleep night, and then a 12-and-a-half-hour day out there was a crazy day at the Ryder Cup, to say the least.
Now, what an event. Yeah, it's been unbelievable, but I want to start with you. As somebody who's there, when we watched it on TV, I mean, the thousands and thousands of people, we'll talk about what went on there in a minute, but just how do you navigate? Did you move from hole to hole, or did you follow one group? How did you do it?
That is probably the first quest of the Ryder Cup event. It is such a throng of people out there who, we're actually heading that way right now, trying to get there early enough to get a location, to get a spot. Mm-hmm. And it's quite a job, quite frankly. That's probably the thing that makes it the event it is. You're really just trying to get there. There's only a few groups, and we had to hike around, and we got to number seven out there, tried to catch the matches as they were, had some drama already building with how they were standing, and got there and spent an hour and a half waiting for the guys to come to the hole. So
yeah.
When we got there it was about 7:30 in the morning, they had just teed off. And it took, them to play seven holes. And by the time we even got there at 7:45, there was already the bleachers were full and,
yeah,
a place along the ropes. But it was crazy how many people were already there.
Yeah. Starting on Friday morning, we all saw it watching the race to get to the seats and all that stuff. Now, here's my big question to you. Are you and your little group there, are you any of the guys that are yelling stupid stuff at the players? Because I was a little worried that you might be one of them.
Oh, well, there certainly have been a few calls that we hadn't heard any off-color ones. Of course, the incident yesterday with Rory was
right.
Was pretty... pretty negative, to say the least. But we were actually, that's where we were in the morning. It was the same exact spot at 7.
Oh, really?
Yeah, on the entranceway, we were literally, as they walked from 7 to 8 tee box. So we were actually at that spot earlier in the morning, but that was in the afternoon match. So, you know, again, there's so many people close by. I mean, the players are walking through a mass of people. So it's not unusual, like something that would happen. So, but they're definitely struggling with the crowd control at that point. But, no, I didn't hear anything more than go USA and, you know, some I don't know why, but people do say some silly things out there on the golf course.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense sometimes, but we were there watching it and taking it all in. My son and I are here together, so just we kind of chuckle and just say, hey, you know, that's people being people, and of course there's plenty of fuel out there for them to get a little more bold than maybe they would be.
Yeah, that's well put. Now, at the end of yesterday, Patrick Reed, one of the great days in the history of the Ryder Cup in terms of his play, Rory McIlroy, who everybody talks about how Patrick Reed was born for this stuff, but so was Rory McIlroy. I mean, what he did yesterday and all...
Go straight through, find a spot you guys like. Busters are out front.
Thank you.
Sorry, we're pulling the parking. So.
Oh, okay. And all of a sudden, all of us are waiting for the draw, the blind draw for singles today. And everybody in the world's wish came true. First match, Patrick Reed and Rory.
Well, you gotta thank the captains for that. That they're in tune with what's out there and how the matches just continue to grab some more drama with those guys being the lead group of the day too. So it's gonna be emotionally charged right from the get go. You know, they're gonna be a lot of come ons and, you know. Rory, he's certainly the most fired up European. I think he's taken over the Ian Poulter piece of the puzzle with him. Of course, he's there. He's a captain, vice captain. But, it's going to be great. And the press and I were talking about it. Literally, that's what they did, put those two guys out first out of the gate, and let's get this thing going, you know.
Yep.
5 points to get, and, you know, as you go down the line, you know, you've got some head-to-heads with Jordan taking on Henrik Stenson. That's going to be a tough match, you know.
Yep.
Joe and Phil, so you know they're top players, really against our top players, and that's kind of the way the lineups kind of got put together. Who's playing the best, and down the line,
right?
And it's interesting to see. You know, Jordan struggled a little bit yesterday afternoon in this match, but hey, when Reed is as hot as he is, I don't know how you can even, stand around and just watch. It was just that good.
I mean, yeah,
it was just an amazing play from Patrick Reed, and I don't know if it was. I think maybe Jordan was just trying to get out of the way.
Yeah, well, he was, and he accomplished that by hitting balls in the water, and he was like, go ahead, Patrick.
I understand that, but I think, you know, when a guy's, you know, making 7 birdies and an eagle, single-handedly taking down the 2 best European players in a baseball match, you kind of got to stand around and watch, you know?
Yeah.
So it was, you know, just Patrick Reed has in these last 2 Ryder Cups has really shown the kind of player he is. I mean, we've seen it even since then. But boy, he's just shining like nobody's business in this this format.
Yep, we're talking with Perry French, of course, our Cleveland Golf Srixon guy. By the way, I played at Kearney yesterday. I missed you terribly.
Oh, all right. Well,
terribly.
Keep swinging, buddy. Did you have good enough weather? It's been perfect out here.
Yeah.
It's had great weather for this event. So.
It actually was great. It was overcast, but it didn't rain, and it was a little cool, and it was perfect. It was great. But we'll play soon. I wanted to – the other match, of course, everybody here is anxiously awaiting is our guy, J.B. Holmes, is the third match out, and he's taken on somebody that has, as a rookie in his first Ryder Cup, has not lost. Thomas Peters from Belgium has been fantastic out there.
Yeah, and who? I guess you figure with 6 rookies on the squad, someone was going to emerge as having their game together and could handle the whole, you know, the whole Ryder Cup experience and be there. I think the fact that he got paired with Rory was
a big thing.
Great call by Clark after the first match he had. Obviously, Westwood and him went out, and Westwood is not playing well. As we saw yesterday afternoon, but then JB showed his mettle and came out and made 7 birdies yesterday afternoon to kind of snag a match from you know, from a match that was really a 50-50 toss-up when they put the afternoon pairings together.
Mm-hmm.
And we were saying that this is a match that can go really either way, and it did. It was back and forth, and on 17, they both players, Willett and Westwood, missed their putts for par, and you know, they snagged the match to get one up, and then on 18, holy cow, how does, you know, West miss that short putt to not
heartbreaking,
match?
Heartbreaking.
You know, he missed, was it at least three or four putts that he missed, really inside of 5 feet. So a tough day for him. We'll see how he rebounds. And but yeah, that's a great match. Thomas Peters, he's going to be a force to be reckoned with, in many Ryder Cups to come. I think people were thinking, man, how did he get picked? And you know, Russell Knox, as we know, a Strixon guy,
yep.
You know, played very well, had two wins, more known than Thomas Peters, but on the European Tour. He was, you know, he showed his medal out there, and a good choice, Mike.
He's fantastic, and he's actually played a lot here. He went to Illinois, and he's been here a lot.
Yeah.
So
yeah, he's
he knows what's going on.
Big guys. This is quite a crowd of, it's quite a crew of players that's been amazing golf as the Ryder Cup seems to bring out.
Mm-hmm.
And today should be nonetheless a wild day of. A roller coaster of emotions, and you know, it's exciting, fun to be part of.
All right, before I let you go, do we hang on? Do we win?
Yeah, you know, I think so. I think there's enough emotion with the players. I think they're playing well enough. That's probably the biggest reason.
Yeah,
you know, I think there's with 5 points as the number, we're at 9.5, and we know how that big lead can loom.
Right,
when the first two or three guys get beat. You know, all of a sudden you get two or three guys get beaten. All of a sudden it's 9.5 to 9.5 or 10.5 to 9.5. We had the last, I think back end is where we're going to get it. I think it could come down to that 8, 9, 10, 11 match.
Mm-hmm.
And we really, quite frankly, I think we should be able to carry those matches and get it through. But yeah, you got to get a 50-50 split out of the gate. Those first six matches, if we go 3-3 there,
right?
In points, I think that the couple will fall into our hands. But, it's golf, Matthew.
And I know. Believe me, I know.
These matches, we saw, you know, a team that with Reed and Spieth four up in the alternate shot with five or six to play.
Yeah.
Get forced to have to making a five-footer for a tie.
Right, right.
Not just, you know, that's what it is. That's the great part about match play.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't get... it doesn't get over until it's over, and these guys are fighting to the end. So you're going to see it all day long. And
cool.
It should be exciting to see. I would think, you know, we hung out at 17. I think 17 is going to be a lot of handshakes on 17.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm happy that you're there and you two guys are there. I know it's a great experience for you and Preston to be there together. And I'll talk to you about it next week when you get back. And thanks for calling. Have a great day. And be careful out there, Perry.
You do the same, Matthew. Thanks, buddy.
All right. See ya. Perry French from Strixon Golf, Cleveland Golf, my partner here on the show up in Chaska, Minnesota. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Neil Sagabell will join me, who wrote one of the definitive books about the Ryder Cup. And we'll talk a little Ryder Cup on Backspin Golf. It's ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Lexington Parks and Recreation. Book your tee time at one of their five public courses at lexingtonky.gov. Play golf, Lexington.
You know you love the Dan Levitard Show on ESPN Radio.
Dallas Braden looks like a car salesman who approaches customers with the line, "She's a beauty, ain't she?" That is absolutely Dallas Braden.
Like 20 Dallas Bradens. I read one of those the whole baseball tonight. And all laughed out loud. So great.
Dan Lebatard, weekdays 10 to 1 on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Attention golfers, looking for a way to lower your score? Introducing Cleveland Golf's new RTX 3 wedges, available now at Edwin Watts Golf Shops. Three game-changing innovations, feel balancing technology, V-shaped sole grinds, and a new Rotex face work together for the most consistent wedge performance that'll get you closer to the hole. Available now at Edwin Watts, home of the 90-day 100% satisfaction guarantee. Serving golfers around the country since 1968. Visit Edwin Watts and get custom fit for the brand new Cleveland RTX 3 wedges today.
Earnings vary based on your effort.
Do you want to learn how to make money flipping houses right here in Lexington? If so, we have an amazing opportunity for you. We're looking for a small group of motivated individuals to join our real estate investing team. You'll learn our simple three-step system for flipping homes right here in the local area. This is Than Merrill, star of A&E's hit TV show Flip This House. My team and I are looking for a handful of people in the Lexington area who want to learn how to make money flipping houses in your spare time using other people's money. Lexington is a perfect market for my system, and next week I'm holding a free two-hour educational workshop where you will learn how to make money flipping homes and how to build long-term wealth with income properties.
To get two free tickets to Than's workshop, call 1-800-378-7138. Seating is extremely limited. Call in the next 10 minutes and you'll also reserve a free copy of Than's Money for Deals Guide. That's 1-800-378-7138. That's 1-800-378-7138.
Schwab's Pipes and Stuff. It's where to go when your day's been rough.
We're family-owned since 1977. Come and enjoy our smoking lounge and patio on Southland Drive.
Hey, hey, our cigars are great and our blends are the bomb. It's time for you to get your smoke on. So head on down to a place you're sure to love. Talking about Schwab's Pipes and Stuff.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by French Lick Resort. Visit them online at FrenchLick.com.
This morning, I'm so excited because Neil Sagabell is one of my favorite authors. We've had him on the show to discuss his book, Draw in the Dunes, about the 1969 Ryder Cup and that amazing event. You can also pick up a copy of The Longest Shot, which is about Jack Fleck and Ben Hogan and the 55 U.S. Open, which is also a phenomenal read. But Neil Sagabell joins me now to talk a little Ryder Cup as we get ready for this final day. Neil, it's so great to have you on again. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Matthew. I'm glad to be with you again.
Yeah. As somebody who has done this book, Draw in the Dunes, and obviously knows so much about the history of the Ryder Cup, I just wanted to touch base with you because as everything that's going on seemingly in the world today, the Ryder Cup has turned into something that Samuel Ryder did not envision, and how could he in 1927? But it's become so much more than just an event, a golf event where two sides are competing for a little trophy.
That's true. And there are aspects of that that I think are great because just the nature of the competition is so different than regular tournament golf that I think it has a way of drawing fans outside of golf into it. But there are also some things that can get lost in all of that too. Jack Nicklaus is still very much on the scene and people talk to him. And the subject I wrote about, 69 Ryder Cup, where he conceded a putt on the final green, it's hard to see that happening in today's environment. But Samuel Ryder loved to see these great players compete and at the end of the matches have a friendly handshake. And also have it be about sportsmanship.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully the Ryder Cup in all its fieriness and focus on winning can still retain some of those elements.
Well, that's all of our hope. And of course, wouldn't you know it, this practice week at Hazeltine has been unbelievable. On Tuesday, they were five deep all the way down the fairway for a practice round. With these guys on Tuesday of the Ryder Cup week. And then, of course, Danny Willett's brother, Danny Willett is, we all know, the Masters champion, a rookie. This is his initial Ryder Cup appearance. His brother puts out a blog post about American fans that was astounding to me. It was just astounding, the wording he used. And now Danny Willett has had to deal with this the whole week. And you have fans who, frankly, Neil, some of the stuff that he said and the obvious things I agreed with. I hate guys that yell, get in the hole and Baba Booey and mashed potatoes and all that. And the crowds at the Ryder Cup are whipped into a frenzy now. And I feel really badly for Danny Willett.
Yeah, he's really in an awkward position.
Yeah.
And it's his first Ryder Cup appearance. And I think after the Masters, I don't know if you followed the aftermath of his Masters victory, but his brother, some of his tweets went viral. So he's kind of a funny, oddball guy.
Yeah.
And maybe there's something lost in translation between America and Great Britain, because I read comments about, you know, this is just British humor. You know, lighten up. Don't take it too seriously. But I don't think Captain Clark, European Captain Clark, or Danny Willett appreciate it coming at this moment. Just giving America anything at all to draw, to help motivate them. And what I feel like, I don't know that it's going to affect the players so much. I think it's going to probably affect the gallery more than anything. They're just going to crank it up even more.
Yeah. And like I said, they've had it cranked up just during practice rounds and things going on. Well, as I said before, we're talking with Neil Sagabell. You can go to armchairgolfblog.blogspot.com for his golf blog, which is fantastic. And you can follow him on Twitter if you're not already doing it, at Armchair Golfer. The other big news that I wanted to get your opinion on before the Ryder Cup even started was, we talked about it briefly before we went on the air, about Phil Mickelson. And you had a really interesting observation. I mentioned the comments he made about Hal Sutton that were so divisive, seemingly, before it started. And then he walked them back because he obviously felt really badly about what happened. But your comment was he's been known to do this.
Well, we saw the aftermath of the 14 Ryder Cup. And, you know, I think a lot of golf fans, and it's probably a long generational line, had very strong feelings about what he did in that press conference afterwards. Sort of this public takedown of Tom Watson, his captain. And I think at times, particularly with this Ryder Cup, it's not like what he said about 2004 and Hal Sutton's captaincy was foreign. You know, we've seen this side of Phil, and for some, it's disappointing. Personally, I don't really see what he gains by talking about that, and whatever he feels about it. And it certainly kind of opened a wound with Hal Sutton. Hal Sutton was, you know, some journalists went out on the golf course and found him.
Yeah, I saw it.
I don't want to say coerced, but got him to talk about it for about 3 minutes. And it was very illuminating to me. I really respected what Hal had to say. And honestly, I was a little surprised by Phil's apology. But I'm glad he did it. I think it was a good thing for him to do. And I think this stuff's distracting, I think. I don't know how it helps the American side go out and play well and do well in the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, and what also was interesting to me was there, as I said, in this world we live in now, you have to be, whoever you are, you have to be careful what you say. And Davis Love came out before the Ryder Cup and said that this was possibly the greatest team ever assembled. And then you saw Darren Clark and Sergio sitting there with a smirk on their face, kind of talking about what Davis Love had said. And Sergio made the truest statement of all. You don't win Ryder Cups with your mouth. You do it out on the golf course, and we'll see who the best team is. I wish, and I know it's in my own little idealistic world, Neil, I just wish we could just play golf. I wish we could have these matches. They're fantastic just by themselves, but obviously we can't do that.
No. And when I saw the quote from Davis, that really surprised me because it seemed out of character for him to say something like that. And he tried to repair that. He said it was within the context of an interview with Matt Adams on Fairways of Love. Of life. But some of those things you just need to keep in the team room.
Mm-hmm.
Because in this day and age, people will parse what you say. They'll grab a quote, and then it's a story.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's going to really make a difference in the end, Matthew. They're like you said, the matches are going to be underway soon, and we're going to find out who's the best team this week.
Right. And real quickly, before I let you go, last week we lost Arnold Palmer, as everyone, of course, knows. Just your thoughts on Arnold, maybe as they pertain to the Ryder Cup.
I think, you know, like I've been reading, the golf world is grieving, the sports world is grieving.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly players, both European players who know Arnold and our American players, in a way, I don't know how it's going to impact the competition, but I feel like, in a way, having this week, so many things that Arnold stood for in the game of golf, it seems fitting that in the week after his passing, that we're playing a Ryder Cup. And so I think it's good for golf. It's good for sport. And it's a good time for us to reflect on Arnold's legacy.
Yeah, I think that's really well said. And I hope many people can do that, especially some of the fans out at Hazeltine. All right. Well, again, thank you so much for joining me this morning. And your work is fantastic. I very much appreciate you, Neil, so thank you.
Thank you, Matthew. I hope America can win this year.
Me too. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, take care.
Take care. Well, Neil Sagabelle is really fantastic and knows as much about the Ryder Cup as anybody. Well, my stomach's in a knot because I'm sitting with two of the biggest radio personalities. And not only Lexington, anywhere.
In this room.
Of all the radio people I know, you are two of them. Anyway, Mary Jo Perino and Dan Reifer will follow me, of course. I like to call it the Mary Jo and Dan Show. I mean, I know that's hard for you. I don't know. They got some stuff to talk about. I don't know. Kentucky played a football game last night. And I thought it was okay. No, I thought it was okay. First of all, we actually had the lead. How many screenshots of Kentucky 3, Alabama nothing were all over the internet last night? Yeah, Josh too. Lot of unbelievable college football games yesterday. Big day of NFL today. And of course, 12 singles matches in the Ryder Cup today. It's going to be a great day. But more importantly, at 4 o'clock, the Seahawks will take on the Broncos in National Flag Football over at Tate's Creek. I'm fired up. I know all of you will be listening tomorrow to find out what happened with Lee's team. And hopefully. Oh, awesome. I get it. Seahawks, 12th man. Dan, it's so early, and Dan is right on top of it already. No, because you would have done the same thing. Have a great Sunday, everybody. Josh, thanks for your help today, and I'll see you tomorrow at 4 o'clock with Mikey. Goodbye, everybody.
Wasilla and Canal.
It's your life and our advice.
Jesse in Indiana.
I am dating a 23. 23-